studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Professor Gangadhar Shastri. Professor Shastri had joined as the first staff member in Swami's college in Prashanthi Nilayam as a lecturer in political sciences in 1979. Later, he went on to become the assistant director of the Prashanthi Nilayam campus for a few years. He has been serving Bhagwan's mission for more than 30 years as of today and continues to do so with gusto. And for today, his topic is Jagat. This talk was delivered in the Satsang Hall here in Prashanthi Nilayam on the 28th of January 2018. As the talk is about 1 hour 15 minutes in duration, we will not be having any musical interruptions in between. And at 3:30 p.m. we will have the live Telugu segment Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesha Chari. For now, over to Professor Gangadhar Shastri.
Today, I thought it is more appropriate that I share my thoughts on a concept called Jagat, as explained by Swami on a number of occasions to sometimes private audience like us and also through his public discourses. Because Bhagavan Baba is here to give us the blessing of spiritual wisdom, it was always necessary to explain to all of us on this most critical concept called Jagat. Strictly speaking, all incarnations all over the world and spiritual masters, even if you think of somebody like Bhagavan Buddha, Jesus, Zoroastra, Lord Krishna, Lord Shirdi Sai, Satya Sai, Ramana Maharshi, Shankaracharya, all the revered, very great souls always gave us this wonderful wisdom on this critical concept called Jagat. In their benediction, they tried to give us as simple as possible a meaning to the concept called Jagat. And Bhagavan Baba made it extraordinarily simple for all of us. Because Swami, all his life, when he was in his physical form, gave this spiritual wisdom to the entire world in such simple terms that even a layman on the roadside would be able to digest it and follow it in his life. The definition of the term Jagat as given by Swami is Jayate Gachate Iti Jagat. Jayate Gachate Iti Jagat. That means the one which is all the time going and coming back, going and coming. That's called Jagat. What is going, what is coming? So, when you look at Jagat, Bhagavan wanted it to be understood in the simplest manner possible, and one day it so happened, we all went to Mandir to have darshan long, long ago. We were all sitting in the Mandir after finishing our college hours by 3:30, 4 o'clock. We were waiting for Bhagavan to emerge from his residence and give us, grant us, bless us with darshan. We were waiting, and Bhagavan did not turn up. As Bhagavan did not turn up, there was some anxiety as to how come Swami was not out so late on the day. We wanted to find out what was happening, and we went out and asked somebody who always put people in lines for darshan in mandir, and he said, Bhagavan already granted darshan and he was already in the interview room. His timings, to put it in one word, a wonderful word in English, were always very, very, very uncertain. He made it very clear to his devotees and all the people all over the world that he was an incarnation of not only love, mercy, kindness, but also what is called as uncertainty. He was an incarnation of uncertainty. You can never be certain with him. You never know what he does. On one occasion, something happened with myself, and in the evening, Bhagavan approached while giving darshan towards us, and then I was hesitating to ask him some explanation for something. I ventured and asked him, Swami, this is what it is like this, and I was trying to understand, but I could not get any meaning of this. It was related to him. Then Swami made a very wonderful statement and said, Oh, you are trying to understand me? He said. Then I nodded my head. I said, Yes, Swami, it is human nature to try to understand whatever we come across. And so, yes, Swami, I was trying to understand this particular point and for this particular aspect of it. And then Swami said, It is related to me. And I would advise you, never, never try in your life to understand me. Because never anybody understood me till today, and it would never be possible for anybody to understand. And the explanation given was, since times immemorial, realized souls, great people, a Valmiki, a Vasishta, a Vishwamitra. Or when you come into the recent times, somebody like Tyagaraja, Ramadasa, Potana, Srinatha, great, great, great scholars. Scholars in various other languages as well. Souls who were aspiring to understand this divine aspect, attempted and attempted and attempted. Finally they said, No, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Though I have accomplished so much and try to understand so much, now I understand that what I understood was insignificant. It doesn't help me in understanding the particular aspects in its totality. Impossible. You would never be able to understand it. It is so complex a creation. Jagat is such a complex creation. This universe. As I told you that day when we were all waiting and somebody told us that Swami already arrived and he was in the interview room blessing some great souls with an interview, we were very happy that he was already there and we were waiting for him to complete his interview and interact with us. We always sat in the portico, near the portico, next to his throne, very close to his throne, and it was a practice in those days that Swami interacted with us every day, at least for half an hour, 40 minutes, trying to explain and bestow the greatest wisdom on all of us. How much we received is a different story. So that day Swami emerged after about an hour or so. Swami came to his throne. As usual, he picked up his kerchief. He wiped his face off the sweat and all that and took his chair, looked at all of us and said, Today I came out to give darshan at 2 o'clock itself, afternoon. Yes, Swami, somebody told us that you emerged out of your room around 2 o'clock, you took some people. And he said, no, not some people. That day what happened was, the Maharashtra state chief minister Vilasrav Deshmukh with his entire family landed in Puttaparthi. The chief minister with his entire family, his wife, his sons, his daughters-in-law, his daughters, the whole family was taken. And Swami came to us and said, see, that is Maharashtra chief minister and his family emerging out of the interview room. They are walking out. Just see, we all saw they came out and they were walking out of Sai Kulwant Hall. Swami said, I took them. They came to have my blessings and darshan. So I took them. I talked to them till now and they are going back. There was a professor amidst us in those days who wanted to take the liberty of talking to Swami and ask sometimes impertinent questions. Sometimes you think that you could ask anything you want and take liberties with God, because it is a consequence of the utter ignorance from which we suffer. We remain ignorant all our life. That is the most unfortunate aspect. We never try to become wiser. This wisdom is a wonderful aspect of human life which should be cultivated by every individual. It is not that we don't try. It is not that we don't have it. It is not that it is impossible. It is possible. It is available. It is with you all the time. You have wisdom with you all the time. But what is the problem? The problem is, you don't call on your wisdom. You don't try to exercise your wisdom. Simply you go on acting. Whatever comes to your mind, on that you act. Bhagavan said, this is the problem of human life. The problem of human life is you just do whatever comes to your mind. That's not right. The right thing is to exercise your discretion before entering into any action. Before entering into any action, you must exercise your discretion. What is discretion? Discretion is nothing but the sense to distinguish between what is good and what is bad, what is appropriate, what is not appropriate, what is meaningful and what is not meaningful. This all we know. It's very easy for us to know. We have it, but we don't exercise. Sometimes it goes to such deeper levels, this discretionary sense. It goes deeper and deeper and deeper to such an aspect, as explained by Swami. I am trying to put these thoughts as given to me by Bhagavan to all of us here. He said, discretion is to be exercised in all your actions from morning till evening. Every act that you undertake, you have to use your discretion. For example, as soon as you get up, you want to take a cup of coffee. Swami says, you can't take a cup of coffee just like that. You should question yourself whether you are ready to take the cup of coffee or not. Did you brush or not properly? And did you go through the austerities required for you to take something or not? You have to go through those austerities. There is a way of life given to all of us. So you have to question yourself whether it was appropriate on your part to do that. Swami has gone to such an extent as to say, if you are standing on the road, Swami told us, you have to ask a question yourself, why are you standing there? Why? For what purpose you are standing there? Is it a right purpose for which you are found on the road or not? If you are standing on the road for fun, you are wasting away the most valuable time of your life, because God is time. Kalayana Maha. Kalakalaya Namaha, Kalatitaya Namaha, Kalaswarupaya Namaha. Time is God. It is a time which decides everything in your life. If you put time to misuse, it is like insulting God, for which you have to reap the consequences. Not only that, Bhagavan doesn't stop with saying that you should know where you are standing, why you are standing, what the purpose is. You should all be aware that in ashram we have a discipline. Because you are all living in ashram, you know, after 9 o'clock we don't want anybody on the road in ashram. That's a rule. If you are not following it, I am very sure that you are violating that rule. In the earlier days when I came here in the 1970s and 80s, in 1980s, that's about 35 years back or so, because I was a stranger, on a few occasions I was found on the road in the beginning, and some sevadal would run to me and tell me, "Sir, it is 9. So what? You are not to be found on the road, get back to your room." Why? This is the rule of the ashram. I was reminded 2-3 times, I don't think I am ever found on the road after 9 o'clock, even today. That is the rule imposed by Swami. You have to follow all the discipline in ashram perfectly because you know how to conduct yourself in this complex jagat. And then as we got exposed to Swami, Swami said, "I don't want you to be found in hotels." You cannot go to a hotel. Why? You go there and eat whatever comes to your mind. That might spoil your health, not simply physical. Health doesn't mean physical health. Mental health is called higher health. That higher health is decided by what you take. The food decides the way you think. The food has got to be sattvic. That is the reason why this wisdom relating to sattva, raja and tamaha is given to the world by ancient people in India, which is propagated all over the world. So they say, what is the journey of life actually? The journey of life begins from tamaha, tamas, to rajas, to sattva, from sattva to suddha sattva. This is the journey. Jagat is designed in such a way that all the avenues are created for you to go through this journey. This journey, its course, its description, everything is given through shastras, epics, Vedas, Upanishads to all of us. As I just mentioned to you, how you have to be in ashram, there was an incident which happened about 30 years back, which rocks me even today. 35 years back, I was given a room. I was staying in a room here, going to the college every day, teaching there and coming back. Next to my room, there was a devotee who was with Swami by then itself for about 3-4 decades. He was given that room by Swami. He was there with his wife. I was sitting there and reading, getting ready to go to college, preparing for something. Suddenly somebody walked that way, went to the next room and knocked on the door. That man from inside opened the door a little. He did not open the door completely. He opened a little. He peeped out. Said, "Who are you?" Said, yeah, I am so and so. And then he looked at him, why are you here, he said. I said, "I am here to see you, both of you. I want to spend some time with you." And the man who opened the door looked at him and said, "Thank you for coming. Go to accommodation office. They will give you accommodation. Wherever they give, maybe they will give you accommodation in shed. Go there, spend your time in most useful manner. Before you leave, if possible, say bye to me and go away." And he closed the door. I was a bit stunned. Who is this man? Who is that man who is speaking to him? What is this conversation and all that? I knew him because he was a very good singer in bhajan hall. He used to sing regularly sitting in front of Swami. So as he emerged out of the room, I said, "Sir, somebody came just now. What was the conversation?" And that man tells me he was my son from Madras. I said, "Your son?" "Yeah." "You didn't allow him inside? That the discipline of the ashram." "What is this discipline?" I said, "Yeah, Swami fixed a discipline here where you don't allow your son in your room. You tell him, why? Because according to spiritual wisdom, you are in Vanaprastha ashrama there. In this Vanaprastha ashrama, after a particular period of your life, you are no wife, you are no children, no son, no daughter, no grandchildren, nothing. Why all this? This is all because as we are going through the process of life in this world, Jagat has got a very bad quality of getting attached to you completely. The Jagat is going to draw you so much close to it that you will get completely absorbed in the world. And the secret of the world is, it gives you enormous pain. Janma dukham jaradukham. Brahma satyam jaganmidhya. There are wonderful statements made by realized souls. I'll give you one example which Swami gave once, trying to explain how we get attached to this world and how it is possible for you to get detached. The detachment process begins, but it doesn't pick up speed. One day Swami was talking to all of us and said, when you are just married, your wife is there, both of you are walking on the road, and your wife stumbles on the road by kicking a stone. When she was ready to stumble after kicking a stone, immediately you sit down by her side, take her foot into your hand, you will begin to cry saying that, did it hurt you? Are you in pain? My God, what is it that I can do? Oh my God, you got a wound. Come on, let me put a plaster. And you are so worried completely that you get absorbed in the pain that she might be going through. And Swami says, after 2 years, the same incident recurred on the road, and you would look at her and say, can't you see? See and walk properly. Come on. Be careful. After another 5 years, when she stumbles the same way, you say, are you blind? Swami gave this example. I'm not. I'm quoting Swami. And Swami said, just see the process through which you are going. But you don't know that you are going through this process. You are not aware. It's happening. It's happening. So Swami said, inadvertently whatever was happening is a kind of evolution from one stage to another, but seriously, willingly, voluntarily, if you are going to take on this process on yourself, you will be relieved of very great pain in this world. You are going through pain from morning till evening, according to Swami. That's the reason why Swami quoted from Vedas and said, he quoted this, he gave this quotation. Janma dukham, jara dukham. Janma dukham. Life itself is nothing but pain and sorrow. Let me go to the next stage where Bhagavan said something wonderful. It's fantastic, this is. He quoted from the Vedas again. He said, he was such a very great Democrat. He said, I'm not telling you anything new. Always he declared to the world through his discourses, I am not giving you any new wisdom. This wisdom is already available through Vedas and Upanishads through centuries and centuries and centuries. I am placing it before you. I am reminding you of this wisdom available. Access the available wisdom. Make your lives full of joy. It's quite possible. What do you mean by the joy? That joy also Swami defined. Swami said, there is no way you can escape pain. There is no. You will go through pain definitely, but the pain will not make any impact on you. You will be able to suffer willingly, voluntarily, accepting it. If you don't do this, Jagat will put you through pain and pain and pain, and completely you are lost. You will go through pain only, all the time. And that pain will bother you. You will not bother. How? How does it happen? In the life of Ramana Maharshi, Swami suffered from a very serious problem, and there was a very big wound on his hand, and it was described as sarcoma. Sarcoma is considered to be a painful disease which gives probably so much pain that no one can withstand that pain. So very painful it is. And so people, devotees stood by his side and said, Swami, it must be so very painful to you. And Swami said, who said I am going through pain? And Swami said, Swami, is it not painful? Yes. It is painful to those people who identify themselves with their bodies. You think you are the body. Once you are able to detach yourself from this consciousness of you being the body, there is no pain. That is what masters tell you. They are all realized souls. They tell you. But unfortunately, we will never be able to reach that until and unless we practice it very seriously every day. Every minute, every second, you have to tell yourself. To reveal this truth to all of us, Swami gave a wonderful example and said, we talk about enemies in the society. He is my enemy, he doesn't like me, he hates me, there is that, there's so many other things. Swami was explained to us how you have the quality of animosity in you. And you don't. It's very common. You can ask yourself actually a question. Are there people whom you dislike? There will be a number of people whom you don't like. But the question immediately asked by Swami is, yes, you do not like some people, you dislike people. You have hatred towards some people. But immediately Swami asked a question. I understand, yes, you have that. Did you ever ask a question, why you hate him? Why? Did you ask yourself a question, why you dislike him? Why? Why do you dislike him? And Swami explains it beautifully. This quality of disliking somebody is because of something wrong with you. There is something wrong with you. That is the reason why you don't like people. What is that? Maybe the other person is richer than you. Maybe he is more handsome than you. Maybe he has got more knowledge than you. Maybe he is more challenging than you. There are so many factors which lead to this quality of disliking others. I don't like somebody because something is there in him which I'm not able to appreciate. Not being capable of appreciating somebody gives birth to the quality of jealousy in you. The minute you are able to appreciate that quality in him, this quality disappears. To give a small example, as given by Bhagavan himself, when you play a game, any game, chess, volleyball, tennis, whatever game you play, the game is over. Naturally, one wins, one loses. What do we do? Immediately after the game, the winner and the loser, both of them are asked to shake hands and thank the umpire. So both of them go to the net. Excellent. We both played good game. There, it is not that the winner with a sense of pride of victory shakes hands.
No.
It should be absent in him. On the other hand, according to Swami, the winner should have total appreciation for the effort put in by his opponent. You did a good job. Really played good. Wholeheartedly you should do. Not, don't pretend, don't act. By acting you are deceiving yourself. Better you remember that. And the loser, wholeheartedly he says, "Arey, congratulations, you played fantastic, really. Superb it is." With joy in your heart of hearts, you are able to appreciate the victory of your opponent. Will we ever grow to that level? Therein, you have an open heart with which you hug people and tell them that you are fine, you are excellent. Will you ever grow? This concept is called in normal language as culture. This is what is called as culture. More than education, Swami gave value to culture. In Telugu, whenever we talk about Vidya Vinaya Sampatti. We call as Vidya Vinaya Sampatti. What is Vidya? Vidya is education. Education is no education until and unless it gets translated into knowledge. Knowledge gets translated into wisdom. Wisdom will get translated into culture. He is a cultured being. What do you mean by culture? Culture is nothing but the highest level of being tolerant to the stupidity of everybody around. Let him be stupid to any extent, it doesn't bother me. I'll give you an example, which Swami gave. When Jesus was being dragged to be crucified on the top of the hill, on both sides people were standing, soldiers were there. He was a fragile person with a piece of loincloth on his body, with a thorny crown on his head, making wounds in his skull, blood oozing out of those wounds. It was extremely hot. Soldiers were dragging him, whipping him. He was very thirsty. Somebody was trying to give him a glass of water, and the soldiers kick him out. They don't allow him to drink even a sip of water. He was dragged and dragged, and he goes to a point from where there were no people. It's all barricades, to be dragged to the top, there to be hanged. So now, crucifixion was going there. There he says, give me one minute, please. And he puts his cross. You know, that cross was specially made from the trunk of a particular tree. And it's a very heavy cross. It's very difficult to drag the cross. You have to carry it with yourself. And Jesus went through so much pain, physically speaking. So he dragged it, stopped there. And it is a recorded fact, he puts the cross down, turns back, looks at all the people. When he looked at all the people, imagine in your minds, it was a look of total mercy, total compassion, total love, complete love. He just looks at all of them. Even as he was dragging towards the point, having the cross on his shoulders, people spat on his face from both sides. They were pelting stones at him, making wounds. Somebody spits. He wipes it and says, "Are you happy? Do you want to spit once again? Doesn't matter. Go ahead. Go to the point, turn back, look at the entire crowd," as I said, with a fantastic, lovely look. Compassion being poured out of his looks. He looks, extends his hands towards the sky and says, "Oh my Father, forgive them, they know not what they were doing." That is culture, compassion. Do we have any amount of culture in us that we have love for everybody around in the society? Do we love them? Swami always propagated only one concept. That's why he is called as form of love. He is nothing but incarnation of love, and he wanted to teach us all to love everything in this creation. What is your problem? Why is it that you are not able to love? Because our education, so-called education, your post-graduation degrees, engineering degrees, medical degrees, MBA degrees, doctorates, all these degrees did not convert you into a good human being. In fact, the education converted you into a heartless person, wherein you are ready to exploit the society with all the wisdom that you have. And one day in the veranda, Bhagavan Baba was talking to 10 teachers sitting in the veranda, and he made a painful statement. It was a statement made by Bhagavan, probably going through some kind of pain in his heart of all. He said, "Today the world is suffering more, not because of the illiterate, very large community occupying this globe. It is suffering because of the educated community which is harming the entire globe." Why this education, he said? Why? Why you get educated? If your education is not contributing to making you into human beings, that education is a waste of time. Today, you are ready to exploit everybody in the society. Exploitation is going on and on. 24 hours, your idea is to make more and more and more money. Where will you take this money? Do you think that money is everything in this world? Only money? Is it for the purpose of money that we live? Or do we live only for a position, power, influence? Think of Lord Harishchandra. The story of Harishchandra reveals to all of us the most fascinating, beautiful facts which Swami always loved and talked to us about. Harishchandra was there. He was ready to give away everything. And the great sage Vishwamitra wanted to test him. Because Harishchandra's name is synonymous with what is called as a truth. That's why he is called Satya Harishchandra. Satya and Harishchandra, one and the same. Satya and Sai Baba, one and the same. Once I speak, I stand on that. And Swami doesn't speak whatever comes to his mind. No. He is very conscious 24 hours of what he was talking, and his life, from the day he declared as incarnation till he attained Mahasamadhi, you just look at that entire span of time in the worldly sense, not in the spiritual sense, in the worldly sense, from that day till the end, it was nothing but a life of supreme sacrifice and suffering. Supreme. Ready to take the pain of somebody on him. Somebody has got temperature 104. You have to suffer for 10-15 days. Swami says, "I'll take it on me, don't worry." He takes that fever on him. Half an hour he takes it, leaves it. Like that he went on taking others' sufferings on him millions of times. There are incidents evident when Bhagavan Baba was running temperature about 104, 105, 106 sometimes. And people who were enjoying his close proximity would tell him, "Swami, is it necessary that you go and give darshan now? People are all waiting for darshan outside." And Swami would say, "Hey, how can I disappoint my so many devotees waiting for my darshan? This temperature doesn't matter. I have to go and please them. I have a responsibility." He comes out, he finishes his darshan and goes back. Even when he was physically suffering from fever, he did it on a number of occasions. And he made a fantastic statement, my life is my message. Whatever he was doing, he wanted us all to do. At least try to do. What do? We give time to somebody. I will come and meet you at 4 o'clock. He is waiting. 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And you don't even turn up. And you don't even call up and say that, I'm sorry, I was not able to turn up. You don't even say that. Simply give, go on making promises from morning till evening to so many people, you never keep up any promise. Whereas, when Harishchandra, the greatest emperor, he was claimed as nothing but incarnation of truth, Vishwamitra wanted to test him. It is not that, never think that Vishwamitra did all that with vengeance, no. Vishwamitra belonged to his own clan. He wanted to prove to the world how great was his clan. How great a person was born into his family. Vishwamitra wanted to make this fact to the entire world. So what he did, you know? He just one day, he went and created two women who danced in front of Harishchandra in the forest. And he made them seek a demand. He said, I am pleased, what do you want? And he told the both ladies to ask Harishchandra to marry him. I said, no, it's impossible. I can't marry, because I am already married. And the truth is revealed. What is the purpose of marriage? The purpose of marriage is, according to Dharma Shastra, to have a progeny, that's all. Already I am married, I have a progeny. The purpose of marriage is already accomplished. There is no question of marriage at all. It doesn't arise. He created that situation. Harishchandra went back. Vishwamitra went and said, how dare you refuse to marry them who were materialized by me? And then Harishchandra, as an emperor, looks at the sage and says, oh great sage, why do you want me to get into this unrighteous act? Why do you force me to get into this unrighteous act? Is it right on the part of a human being to get into an unrighteous act? Question yourself about every action of yours. Is it righteous or not? This was Swami told us. When he talked to us about standing on the road, is it righteous on your part to stand there? Sometimes I wonder, when I drive to the college by my car, people standing in the middle of the road and starting, when I conk my horn, he looks daggers at me. How dare you conk the horn? Should I drag you out of the car and kick you left and right? That's the message given to me. What kind of culture is that? Why are you standing in the middle of the road and talking? You don't know how to stand on the road. You don't know how to walk on the road. And then Swami goes to the extent of saying, not only standing, Bangaru, not only standing. Swami told us all these things which I am sharing with you today because I got an opportunity. He said, when you look at somebody, Swami said, why are you looking at him? With what purpose you are looking at him? With what sense you are looking at them? Why? Or better you be careful when you are looking at somebody with all the intentions that are cropping up in your mind. And he quoted from Ramayana. Valmiki Maharshi composed Ramayana through an act called Darshana. It is called as Darshana. Darshana means in the mind you visualize it. You see it in your mind. By the grace of God, it gets visualized in your mind. You are able to see it and then compose it. Human beings cannot compose Ramayana. Impossible unless you have the vision granted to you by the Almighty. Vyasa composing Mahabharata, Bhagavata. All this is not human action. Potana. It is not humanly impossible to compose something like that unless you are divinely inspired. Bhagavan inspires you to draft it. For what? What is being drafted is for the guidance of the rest of the millions of people living on this planet. It is not for fun Ramayana is written. Ramayana is not written with a desire to get a Nobel Prize by Valmiki. He did not expect anything. In fact, kings offered, dedicate this Ramayana to me, I will give you millions, he said. And Valmiki said in his humble way, who said that? I composed it. It's not composed by me. It is composed by Sri Ramachandra. Through me, I am only an instrument. Khalil Gibran is a very great writer, a Lebanese poet, who lived in the United States and wrote a number of beautiful books in his spiritual wisdom. It is like actually somebody questioning and somebody giving the answer. Probably Khalil Gibran thought Jesus was there, a devotee was asking question and Jesus was answering on a number of aspects. Talk to us about marriage. Master, a master talks. Master, talk to us about business. He talks about business. Then you ask Master, talk to us about family. He talks to you about family. One day there was a question asked by somebody, Master, talk to us about our children. And then the first sentence of the answer given by Master was, your children, you think are your children, they belong to you. You don't know that your children come through you, but not from you. They come through you, not from you. Where from? Where from you came to this planet? Where are you going? Jagat. This jagat is going to mislead you. Put you with all kinds of darkness in your mind. It will not allow your mind to access light. Light is called wisdom. That is the reason why we every day pray. Asatoma sadgamaya. Asatoma, this whole world is full of asat. It is all asat. It is untrue. How? You think the tree is there. It's not there in fact. After some time it will not be there. This building is there, we don't know. There were huge empires. Very great many rulers were there. Where are they? Kare Rajulu Rajyamul Kalgore Garvanna Tenjandare Vareri Bhumipainan Pirainan Galade, he says. Where were the empires? Where were the rulers? Where was my grandfather? Where was my father? Where am I going to be? Where are my children going to be? False. It's all nonsense. It's utter nonsense. And because you are not wise, you are not able to understand the reality. You get completely attached to your wife, to your children, to your property, to your building, to everything, and you think, oh, I'm so handsome. It is going to become a fistful of ash tomorrow. This fact is given to Harishchandra. Harishchandra tells, all this is going to vanish. Why unnecessarily get attached completely? You have to do the minimum according to Swami. Because you are on this planet, the opportunity is given to you to be born and to live for some time. A small frame of time. What is that time again? Uncertain. You don't know. Why you don't know? Swami said, I need not explain it to you. Swami on a number of occasions said, I need not explain. You just think for a minute. Some of them children in the womb they die. Some children come out and die one day. Some children come out 2 days, 3 days, 10 days. Some of them 5 years, 10 years, 50 years, 90 years, 100 years. You are not there. It is happening all around you. I am talking to you right now, this second. Millions of souls are coming into this world at this minute. All over the globe, visualize in your mind, all over the world, millions of them are coming into this world, millions of them vacating and going. You are celebrating Diwali, somebody is getting cremated in the burial ground. Simple, very Swami said simple. It is all simple to him. He always lives as Brahman. He is Brahman, conscious of the Brahma Tattva all the time. And then he reveals, Jagat is a transient. Jagat is a transient. It is changing every minute, it is changing. Then, how much it is changing, Swami? Then he said, my grandson sits in front of a highly sophisticated TV with a remote. He goes on operating it left and right. I can't understand it. Jagat. It is changing so fast. I can't access anything. He can access everything. It is time. He will not be able to access certain things after 30 years. Everything is going to be changed. Everything is changing, 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 going on and on and on. The change is happening in front of your eyes, but you are not recognizing it. You have to recognize the change that is taking place every minute. And also you should tell yourself that you are not going to be there. You think you are not. You have to tell yourself every minute is running out. Every minute is running out. The time is running out. You don't know how long you are going to live. Swami always said this point. That is the reason why he said, Kalaya Namaha. Kala Kalaya Namaha. Kala Swarupaya. I am in the form of time, he said. In Bhagavad Gita also he said. I am in the form of time. When Arjuna dropped down his bow and arrows, I can't fight these people. Lord Krishna looked at him, gave a mischievous smile. A wonderful mischievous smile he gave and said, hey Arjuna, do you think that you are going to kill them? Yeah, I have to take a bow and kill them. Hey, I am giving the wisdom to see in your heart of hearts. Come on, take the divine vision and look at it. I have already killed them with my sankalpa. They are already dead, according to me, he said. Swami, yeah, you want to see? He opened up his stomach. Have a vision, he said. The battle is already over there in his stomach, in his scheme. He said, I killed everybody, including Bhishma. Everybody is killed. This is my scheme. This is his scheme. It's going on and on. It will go on like that according to his wish. It doesn't happen according to your wish. So you should know how unwise you are. This world is, this jagat is like that. As I told you in the beginning, Swami came out on that day, and one professor who wanted to interact with him looked at him and said, in our as usual ignorant fashion, we love to enjoy our ignorance. And he looked at him and said, Swami, yeah, Vilasrav Deshmukh right now, Maharashtra, he has got a lot of problems. His wife is in problems, his son is in problems, his daughter is in problems, the whole family is in a lot of problems, so they are all here to receive your blessings and get out of the problems or something. Swami gave a wonderful smile to this professor, looked at all of us and said, okay, this is the time I have to grant you Brahma Jnana probably. Just as Krishna did to Arjuna, and he looked at all of us and said, oh, is that so? Do you think that he has got so many problems, so he's here? Otherwise what, Swami? Otherwise why should he be here? And then Swami looked at this professor, accomplished professor he was. He was a professor in accountancy. He wrote wonderful books which are prescribed as textbooks in lots of colleges. He looked at him and said, then professor, if you are right, according to me, the whole world should be sitting in front of me in Prashantinilaya. Said, what does it mean, Swami? Yeah, if you think that people suffer from problems, so they come to seek my blessings, show me one person who doesn't have problems in this world. Everybody is having some problem or the other, so the whole world should be sitting in front of me here, seeking solutions, is it not? Then the professor got a doubt of his own intellectuality. He said, I think there is some point Swami is making. And Swami looked at all of us and said, Let me tell you something very interesting. That day he told all of us something really interesting and highly fascinating. He said, you know, professors, the biggest problem with all of you on the whole world, all people in the world, is that you think that the world is real. That is the reason why you get attached to this world and you get into problems. The world is unreal. How is it, Swami? Then Swami explained. It is like all the people in this world will be running and running and running for only one thing in this world, that's called happiness. They will be chasing lot of goals, lot of ends with one idea to get happiness. Yes, Swami, all people want happiness. Everybody wants to avoid sorrow. But then Swami said, you know one thing, this what you call as happiness, you all know it, but let me explain it to you, let me put it to you so that you will think, start thinking on this. And Swami said, this so-called happiness that you are deriving, try to understand, is totally temporary. It is a temporary happiness that you gain. How, Swami, how is it? Okay, you feel like eating a gulab jamun, which gives you happiness. You eat one gulab jamun, you are very happy after 5 minutes. You feel like, say for example, you got a gold medal, you got distinction in your MA, that gold medal gave you joy. How long? 1 hour, 2 hours is over, you forget about it. You brought a new fridge, brought it home. First day you will go on cleaning it again and again and again. After 1 month, you bang it, pat pat and all that. You got a new car, maybe you love it for 10 days, 15 days after that. Same thing with wife, children, you love them in the beginning. After some time, when your son talks back to you, all the happiness that you call so-called happiness in this world is momentary and temporary. It is not going to give you that kind of ananda which is real, brahmananda. And Swami said, you are chasing goals in this world, in this jagat, which is a transient world. You are chasing the world for permanent happiness. How can a transient world give you permanent joy? It is not within the powers of this world to grant you eternal happiness. I have not created this world with that capacity. This world, so-called world, which according to Bhagavan Baba, drushya kalpitamaina tuvanti jagattuku shashvatamaina tuvanti anandamuniche shakti ni nenu ivvaledu, he said. I have not granted the power to this naked world which you are able to experience with your naked eye to grant you permanent happiness. I have not given that power. It can never give you. It cannot give you. That's it. It is a rule made by the Almighty. Run after your wife. She will not give you happiness all your life, permanent happiness. Children run after. Wealth you run after. Vehicles, power, position. Run after anything in this world. That will give you momentary happiness. According to Swami, 1 minute happiness, 23 hours, 59 minutes, 59 seconds sorrow, he said. That is this world. This is Jagat. It is like, Swami gave a wonderful example on that day. Still my memory is good, fortunately. So Swami said, it is like chasing a mirage to quench your thirst. You chase mirages on the road thinking there is water, you can quench your thirst. Run, 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 run. Faint after some time. Your thirst is not quenched. This life is like that. In this life you go on, run, run, run. Finally you die without understanding why you lived. Nothing is accomplished. Frustrated, disgusted, thorough sense of sorrow, all this will engulf you and you just withdraw from this world. No, that's not the purpose. The purpose is to have real peace, real happiness, contentment, joy. How are you going to get all this? And Swami gave an answer on that day. He said, Professor, because this world cannot grant you all that, I created another world which can give you that, he said. You know where is it? Swami said, I created another world within you. It is the outside you are looking. Don't look outside. Look within. There is a world inside you. It is a bit confusing and complex. What is that world inside? How to look within and all that? As I told you, Swami makes it very simple so that you understand the complex concept very easily. Swami said, within world, you have a doubt? Swami, I don't understand that. Swami said, okay, let me give you one example. Simple example. Swami said, okay, let me bring it to the present context. Swami gave some other example, but to make it very easy for all of you to take a look. All of you just think, Obama, he is in your mind. And I tell you, Taj Mahal, it is there. Is it not? Or a pyramid, it is there in your mind. Anything I talk about, immediately it comes to your mind. How does it come to your mind? What is the power that is actually granting you that light within you to see that, which is not here? Panchabhutas, with which the body is made. And when you leave the body, the panchabhutas get dismantled completely back, merge into the universal spirit. The panchabhutas are there within you, which are really working. Those actually maintain the inner world. You have to access within. And so Swami said, what you have to resort to is, you have to resort to spirituality to keep the jagat away from you. This jagat, which is 24 hours giving you problems, to keep this jagat away and drench yourself in constant ananda, constant integrated awareness, about which Swami spoke on a number of occasions, this ananda, you will be able to do as long as you go on looking within, 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 go on looking within. This is the reason why Swami said introspection is necessary. With simple examples, when you are standing somewhere, ask yourself, why are you standing? You are looking at something, why are you looking at it? You are talking something, why am I talking? Why are you talking? Swami gave an example once and said, from morning, since you get up, go on and on, spend the entire day, before going to bed, sit on your bed, close your eyes, and just ask yourself a question. Since morning I got up till now, with all those people whom I interacted, why did I interact with them? What did I speak to them? What did they speak to me? How much of time I spent speaking to them? How much they spoke to me? Out of all this, how much is sensible? How much doesn't have any sense? Think for a while. Out of all the time that you are awake, 99.9% of time you wasted away by talking nonsense. Waste of time. You go on talking about maybe that vegetable is good, this curry is good, that chapati is good, this is good, that is good, and all the trash completely. Who cares what you eat? Why? You eat just to survive. You don't survive to eat. That is not the purpose for which you came into this world. You never know why you came. What is it that you have to do? All your effort should be never to be born again. Janma Rahitya should be the purpose. How do I get Janma Rahitya? Until and unless I maintain peace and equilibrium all the time. So all spiritual wisdom is to be aimed at every act that you undertake with a clean, pious heart. Bhagavan Baba did it. I will give you one small example with reference to Swami. Contemplate on this. And this is in the form of a question. Did Swami ever do anything expecting anything from anybody in this world? One question, that's all. Did Swami do anything in this world ever since he declared himself to be incarnation till he attained Mahasamadhi? What all he did? Did he do anything expecting anything from anybody? Did he ask anybody to give anything? And what all he gave? This whole Satya Sai empire all over the world is built by him without expecting anything from it. Why? For our welfare, for our progress, for our betterment, we lead a good life, we sanctify our lives. That was the purpose of that incarnation, and the incarnation declared, my life is my message. Are we living as examples of that particular direction given to us by Swami? At least to some extent. Swami said, I don't want you to sacrifice all your lives. At least do you have the sense of spirituality in your minds? Otherwise, you will be swayed away in this jagat. This jagat will drag you. And there is one example given in spiritual wisdom, which I go on quoting again and again and again, which is given, reminded to us by Swami. We talk about what is called as Vairagya. Vairagya is to understand the world and develop a kind of detachment. You have to get detached from the world. This is called Vairagya. And when talk about detachment, people say there are three kinds of Vairagya, which are talked about in sacred books. Should never be like that, he says. What are the three kinds of Vairagya? One is called Purana Vairagya. Purana Vairagya means you go, listen to Swami's discourse, listen to the discourse of Shankaracharya or somebody, Ramana Maharshi, or read a spiritual book, and after closing the book you think, aha, fantastic. My God, I must get up 4 o'clock early morning. Swami said that I should go for Nagar Sankirtan, Omkaram, Suprabhatam, come back home, little eat sattvic food, do my job, be in meditation, don't talk to anybody. This is what it is. Attend bhajans, sing bhajans in a very big, loud voice, go on singing bhajans and all that. Spend my life in the most spiritual manner possible. Immediately after discourse, that is the conclusion to which you come. Come back home. After 1 hour, all discourse evaporates. Then you start your scheming again. Scolding people. Never, you don't get up at 4 o'clock at all, first of all, next day. You get up at 8 o'clock. What happened? So, all this detachment you are developing only at the point of listening to a discourse, after some time it is evaporating. What is the fun of listening to a discourse then? What is the fun of chanting bhajans then, if you don't stick to yourself on that path? You are deceiving yourself, which is called the worst sin. Atma vanchana, it is called in Sanskrit. Atma vanchana, deceiving yourself. Pretend to be spiritual, not being spiritual, it is the worst sin in the world. Don't do that. Next is called prasuti vairagya. It is said that in the Shastras, a woman while giving birth to a child goes through so much of pain. It is called rebirth actually. Such deadly pain, and a thought crosses the mind of a woman, I believe, that she should never get into family life again. But after a while, again you are into family life. Because that vairagya doesn't stick. The third kind of vairagya is called smashana vairagya. When you go to a burial ground, you stand in silence. When somebody is getting cremated, 4 people carry the body, somebody sets it on the fire, the thought crosses your mind, are, one day I will also be carried like this. 4 people will carry me, they will put me on the pyre, somebody will set fire, I will also get cremated like this, I am going to become a fistful of ash. Is it necessary for me to do all this for the simple thing as I am going to end up like this? Or what am I doing? Come back from burial ground, normal. Ditching people, exploiting people, kicking people, entering into all rotten things. What is the fun? These examples are given to tell you how transient is your spiritual thinking. Your thinking is momentary. After that, you are deviating from that. Spirituality is not. Spirituality is a whole-time business. It is not a part-time job. Swami said that. Spirituality is not a part-time job. Don't think that whenever you want, you can go there, sing bhajan for some time and think that, okay, fantastic, I accumulated so much of punya, let me commit sin now. No, 24 hours all the time you have got to be spiritual from morning till evening all the time. You have to be. Bhagavan Baba himself beautifully explained it. After completing the water project which is given, water to all the Anantapur district people by spending hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of crores of rupees Swami spent. All the villagers came to Puttaparthi to express their gratitude to Swami. That day evening they were sitting on the gents side near Swami's vehicles are parked there. The garages are there. Near the garage side they were all sitting. I was also sitting there. Swami completed darshan on the lady side, came to the gents side, stood in front of all those people who came from all the villages. Village panchayat members, panchayat presidents, all of them came. And then Swami stood in front of them. I was sitting at a distance, but I could hear what Swami was talking. And I'm a personal witness to this conversation, which had a tremendous impact on my mind. And I always shared this. I think I shared it here also 100 times. I want to share it once again with all of you. And so all of them, Swami asked, Bangaru, why are you here? Bangaru, why is it that all of you are here? So many people, about 500, 600 people are here. Why? Then in the front line, those VIPs who were sitting there, important people, they got up and said, Swami, we are here to express gratitude to you for giving us water which is not given for the past 500 years or so. Rayalaseema was suffering and you gave us water. Now we get water at our doorstep. Because of you, we drink water today comfortably, Swami. Good drinkable water, potable water. So we are all here to express our gratitude to you, Swami. And then Swami said, what a mistake it is, what a blunder it is to express gratitude to me. Yanta tappu bangaru, he said. What a big blunder it is to express gratitude to me. Then they asked immediately, innocent hearts, innocent minds. So they immediately asked, how is it a mistake, Swami? How is it a mistake to express gratitude to you? And then Swami gave a fantastic answer which got recorded in my mind. He said, naaku dahamesindi, nenu manchinallu teppichukunnanu. నేను మంచినీళ్ళు తాగుతున్నాను, నా దాహం నేను తీర్చుకుంటున్నాను, నాకు నేను థ్యాంక్స్ చెప్పుకుంటానా? విచ్ మీన్స్ ఐ ఫెల్ట్ థర్స్టీ, ఐ గాట్ వాటర్, ఐ ఆమ్ డ్రింకింగ్ వాటర్, ఐఎమ్ సాటిస్ఫైయింగ్ మై ఓన్ థర్స్ట్. ఫర్ దట్ రీజన్ డూ ఐ థ్యాంక్ మై సెల్ఫ్ బంగారు? యు ఆర్ ఆల్ నథింగ్ బట్ మై ఓన్ రిఫ్లెక్షన్స్. వెన్ యూ ఫీల్ థర్స్టీ, ఐ ఫీల్ థర్స్టీ. So by drinking you water, it is not that I have done any favor to you. I served myself. On the other hand, Bangaru, I should tell you that you have given me an opportunity to offer service to you, for which I express gratitude to you. Will you ever grow to that level? And then he goes and says another thing, which actually hit me very hard. And Swami said, now Bangaru, not only that I thank you for this opportunity, for giving me this opportunity to serve you. Now, I pray to all of you to give me many, many, many more opportunities like this to serve you and sanctify my avatar. Lord Krishna did it in Mahabharata when he carried the chapels of Draupadi in his armpit. It is a habit of Lord to serve all the time. Lord doesn't come to command at all. Bhagavan Satya Sai Baba did not come to command. He came here to love us, to guide us, to give us, to sanctify our lives. That the way of looking at this incarnation. Mahavatar, Satya Sai Avatar. Transformed millions and millions of souls across the world. Let us also transform ourselves by becoming what? By becoming instruments in the hands of the Lord. Always serving, serving, serving. There is great honor in serving. There is a dishonor in getting served. There is a great dishonor when you get served by people. You should know that you are putting somebody else to trouble to serve you. Don't do that. Enter into activity of service. How many people I am able to serve in my life and give joy to people. The more and more and more people you are able to give joy, the more your life is sanctified. Swami said once, 12 o'clock somebody calls you in the night when you are in deep sleep and says, I am in trouble, can you take me to hospital? And what you need to do? Get up immediately and take him to hospital. Because it is an opportunity knocking on your door to offer service to somebody. If you don't think that the man will not go to hospital. Somebody else will take. He is stealing that opportunity. Don't allow that opportunity to be stolen. Serve, serve, serve and serve and serve. By serving only people became great in this world. Look at Mother Teresa. Look at Nelson Mandela. Look at Mahatma Gandhi. Look at all those leaders who sacrificed their lives. The word sacrifice is wrong actually. You know why? It is their nature to suffer. Suffering, they like it. One day Swami doesn't give interview, he feels sad. One day he doesn't materialize vibhuti and give somebody, he feels sad. Why? He came to serve. The real nature of humans is to serve. We have forgotten it. Serve, serve, serve. Our parents served us. Society is serving us from morning till evening. What are we doing? We are getting served like lords. Swami said, you feel ashamed to be served. You need to feel ashamed to be served. That is the reason why Swami created Sevadal. Sevadal. You eat in the canteen and go away. People are cleaning their plates, your plates there. They are cleaning the roads. Big, big, big people come. They serve in the office. They serve in the canteen. They serve in the stores. So many people throughout the night, they are doing security job near the college, near the hostel, everywhere. Big, big people having that scarf. And it is a scarf which represents great dignity and honor. When the scarf you find around the neck of a man, you should bow down and say, Sai Ram. That represents Swami. Swami's philosophy of seva. That is the jagat into which we should get in. Not this jagat which is attracting us, which is destroying the opportunity of what is called as a wonderful life to be sanctified. So, I think I shared some of my thoughts by quoting Swami to you on the nature of jagat to the extent possible. In this course of my talk to you, if by mistake, if I talked anything which hurt you, kindly pardon me. And I thank you for this wonderful opportunity given to me by Bhagavan to share a few of my thoughts with all of you. Jai Sai Ram.
ओंकारं बिंदु संयुक्तं नित्यं ध्यायन्ति योगिनः सर्गमवदनिसनिदममगरेसा ओंकारं बिंदु संयुक्तं नित्यं ध्यायन्ति योगिनः कामदं मोक्षदं चैव ओंकाराय ओंकाराय नमो नमः हरि ओम नमः शिवाय हरि ओम नमः शिवाय ओम नमः నమంతి ఋషయో దేవా నమంత్యప్సరసా గణాః నరాః నమంతి తే దేశం నకారాయ నమో నమః నకారాయ నమో హరి ఓం నమః శివాయ. మహాదేవం మహాత్మానం మహాధ్యానం పరాయణం మహాపాపహరం దేవం మకారాయ మకారాయ నమో నమః నమః శివాయ. హరి శివం శాంతం జగన్నాథం శివం శాంతం జగన్నాథం లోకానుగ్రహకారకం శివమేకపదం నిత్యం శివం ఏకపదం నిత్యం శికారాయ నమో నమః. వాహనం వృషభో యస్య వాసుకి కండభూషణం వామే శక్తిధరం దేవం వకారాయ నమో నమః. హరి ఓం నమః శివాయ. హరి ఓం నమః శివాయ. యత్ర యత్ర స్థితో దేవ సర్వం వ్యాపి మహేశ్వర యత్ర యత్ర స్థితో దేవ సర్వం వ్యాపి మహేశ్వర యో గురు సర్వదేవానాం యకారాయ నమో నమః. షడక్షరమిదం స్తోత్రం యః పఠేత్ శివ సన్నిధం షడక్షరమిదం స్తోత్రం యః పఠేత్ శివ సన్నిధం శివలోకం అవాప్నోతి శివేన సహ మోదతి. హరి ఓం నమః శివాయ. 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 హరి ఓం హరి హరి ఓం నమః శివాయ. హరి కౌసల్యనందన వైదేహి మోహ కౌసల్యనందన వైదేహి మోహన కౌసల్యనందన వైదేహి మోహన రాజీవలోచన రామ రాజీవలోచన రామ యుగవదా పరమేశ్వర రామ యుగవదార పరమేశ్వర రామ అసుర నిఖండన కోదండ రామ అసుర నిఖండన కోదండ రామ భరతార ಚಿತ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮ ಪರತಿಪುರೀಶ್ವರ ರಾಮ ಭರತ ಚಿತ ಶ್ರೀರಾಮ ಪರತಿಪುರೀಶ್ವರ ರಾಮ ಕೌಸಲ್ಯ ನಂದನ ವೈದೇಹಿ ಮೋಹನ ರಾಜೀವ ಲೋಚನ ರಾಮ ಯುಗ ಅವತಾರ ಪರಮೇಶ್ವರ ರಾಮ ಅಸುರ ವಿಖಂಡನ ಕೋದಂಡ ರಾಮ ಭರತಾಚಿತ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಮ ಪರತಿಪುರೀಶ್ವರ ರಾಮ ಭರತಾರ್ಚಿತ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಮ ಪರತಿಪುರೀಶ್ವರ ರಾಮ ಕೌಸಲ್ಯನಂದನ ವೈದೇಹಿ ಮೋಹನ ರಾಜೀವ ಲೋಚನ ರಾಮ.